This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Tuesday, March 29th, 2022. Good morning and welcome to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's so good to be with you again. I want to remind you that the Ten Commandments are more than just a bunch of rules. They're how we love God every day. They really do have meaning for us as Catholics. Tomorrow, join Relevant Radio's Josh Raymond on The Inner Life at 11 a.m. Central for a special three-part mini-series with Father Matthew Spencer. Learn the ins and outs of what these Ten Commandments tell us about God and about ourselves and just how practically they fit into our daily lives. So if you can't listen live for whatever reason, you can always grab The Inner Life podcast at relevantradio.com or on the Relevant Radio app. Now, we have some good news this morning. Another set of peace talks are underway in Turkey. I want to bring in my colleague, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, on this day 34 of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, what is the latest this hour?
Well, John, those peace talks are underway as we speak in Turkey. First face-to-face meeting between Ukrainian and Russian negotiators in about 3 weeks. It said the greeting was cold, but they are together, and that's at least a start. Elsewhere, Russian forces have stalled in several parts of Ukraine, including around Kyiv, and counterattacks are happening on behalf of the Ukrainian people. President Biden, by the way, Saturday in that speech, appearing to possibly call for regime change in Moscow, said that was just his opinion, and he's not voicing a policy change that Vladimir Putin must go. Elsewhere, a little bit of fighting on TV, right, at the Oscars on Sunday night with Will Smith taking exception to something Chris Rock said and getting on stage and slapping him. That was topic one for so many yesterday, and so many conversations not only on radio and TV but around water coolers. And now as the Academy does its own investigation into what happened and why, Will Smith has issued an apology to Chris Rock saying that I was out of line and I was wrong.
Absolutely. One of the most famous slaps, perhaps, of all time. And in fact, there was some folks who really didn't think that it was real. They thought it was all staged.
Yeah, there was some discussion about that. I think the preponderance of evidence kind of shows it looked pretty genuine, though, even though these are highly paid actors, but they're treating it as such. And that as a gag, it didn't seem, if it was just staged as a gag, it didn't really do anybody any good, you know.
Well, I'm glad that that Will Smith apologized, and we're going to break it down in the second hour of the show with Dr. Jim Schrader, our regular contributor and a pediatric psychologist, so he will give us his perspective on this whole situation. So as always, thanks so much, Glenn. If anything breaks with Ukraine, please let us know.
Hey, sure thing, John.
We begin every program and every hour in prayer, and we especially continue to pray every single day, every morning, for peace in Ukraine with Russia, asking our Lord through the intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Mother of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And every morning here on Morning Air, we invoke the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Every Tuesday, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to the guardian angels. Pray often to your guardian angel and ask for help in your everyday life. Make yourself familiar with these angels. Even though you don't see the angels, they are absolutely present with you all the time. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This may be the most famous verse in the entire world, perhaps of all time. You often see signs with John 3:16, especially in college and NFL football games and Major League Baseball stadiums or other sports arenas. God so loves you that he sent his only Son, that through his infinite mercy we may have eternal life. Christ did not come to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. If we truly believe in Christ, then we will live out our faith, take action, and love our neighbor as well. It's faith working through love. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Our number, if you want to be part of our conversation this morning, 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're going to talk a little politics from a Catholic perspective. This past weekend, President Biden visited Poland right next door to Ukraine, and he gave a speech to the Polish people. The White House was forced to walk back the explosive comments made by President Biden during his diplomatic visit to Poland, which he seemed to call for a regime change in Russia.
Bent on rebuilding an empire will never erase a people's love for liberty. We will have a different future, a brighter future, rooted in democracy and principle, hope and light, of decency and dignity, of freedom and possibilities. For God's sake, this man cannot remain in power.
And then yesterday on Monday at the White House, Mr. Biden defended his off-script remarks on Putin, saying to reporters, "I'm not walking anything back."
He cannot remain in power. It does not mean regime change.
It means that I would hope, it was expressing my outrage. He shouldn't remain in power. Just like, you know, bad people shouldn't continue to do bad things. But it doesn't mean we have a fundamental policy to do anything to take Putin down in any way. I'm not walking anything back.
Meanwhile, President Biden's job approval ratings have dropped to 40% in an NBC News poll that came out on Sunday, marking Biden's lowest approval rating since coming into office. Joining us live from Washington, D.C. for a Catholic perspective on President Biden's trip to Poland and much more is attorney and political analyst Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso is a frequent guest on Fox News, MSNBC, Telemundo, Univision, and CNN in Espanol, and he's published opinion columns in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, and of course is a regular contributor to Morning Air. Good morning, Alfonso. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again.
Good morning. Happy to be with you.
Alfonso, before we talk about the president's trip to Poland, what's your take on President Biden's job approval ratings dropping to 40% in that NBC news poll? That's the lowest since he became president.
Well, I'm really not surprised. I think you can tell that the American people are not happy with this job performance on not on one issue, but on a whole host of issues, from inflation, the economy, to foreign policy, to what's happening at the border, to even crime in inner cities. I don't think the American people are happy with the job that he's doing. And, you know, sadly, when you push bad policies, it produces bad results and people react. I don't think they're happy with his policies. I don't think they're happy with his leadership. And I think they feel that he's not doing enough to address their top issue of concern, which is inflation. You know, trying to say that it's is the result of the conflict in Ukraine. And certainly that has had an impact on gas prices. But really, inflation started before that, and gas prices started to go up right after he he took office. So they realized that with the inflation that we have right now, and especially the increase in gas prices, is due to his policies to immediately reduce gas and oil production and exploration, putting our security at risk. So I think that's the reaction to a lot of bad policies. Certainly, the poll was done before his trip to Ukraine, to Europe and to Poland. But certainly, that trip to Europe with all the gaffes that he made is not going to help his approval rating. And I must say, this is the lowest he's been in this particular poll. 40% is the lowest approval rating he's had in the NBC poll. So it's impressive. And the other thing is that it definitely has an impact on the midterm elections. And that's another thing that this poll showed, that Republicans are ahead of Democrats for the midterms by only 2 points. And that seems like a small margin, but the reality is that this is the first time Republicans are ahead for a midterm election in this poll since 2014. So it says a lot.
Yeah, and if you go, beneath the initial numbers, the 40% approval rating, if you look at the how Americans feel about how Mr. Biden is handling the economy, it's only 33% now compared right. to 51% in April of last year. If you look at how Biden is handling the war, it's only 28%, which is really, really concerning.
No, indeed. People are concerned with what's happening in Ukraine. Also, vast majority, I think over 70%, think the country's not going the right direction. So it's not only that he's not popular, it's that the vast majority of Americans think that the country is not going in the right direction. So it's sad. Obviously, we want to press him to succeed. But again, as I've said, this is a product of bad policies at the border, bad policy, bad foreign policy, not a clear vision of foreign policy, bad economic policies of continuing with government spending that contributes to overheat the economy and for prices to go up, bad energy policy. I think the American people know this, and the sad thing is that at the same time, I think people are frustrated because if you think about it, we're still at the beginning of this administration, and there's still 3 years to go, and a lot of people feel frustrated. The only thing we can do is wait, because I think there's a general consensus in the country that already this is a failed administration. Yes, I think people are going to come out, and Republicans are very well positioned to retake the House and perhaps the Senate as well. But in terms of the presidency, they feel very frustrated because he still has 3 years to go.
Absolutely. And Alfonso, from a Catholic perspective, what should be the biggest concerns for Catholics and other Christians and also for pro-life people?
Well, as I said, generally, as Catholics, we want a president to succeed, for the economy to do well, for people to have access to jobs. So, this is, we can't just rejoice because the man is down. I hope the country could be doing better. But in terms of the social issues, I think that that's another area where people of faith, people who respect the value of life and family are frustrated with this administration, where they've supported abortion on demand. They try to codify Roe versus Wade. Thank God they failed. They were able to pass it in the House, but failed in the Senate. This president is pushing hard the radical LGBT and transgender agenda. Thank God a lot of governors and states are countering those efforts. We, yesterday Governor DeSantis in Florida signed a bill that would protect parental authority and children really from being sexualized and exploited, because sadly, there's an effort by transgender activists to engage kids in public schools very early on to talk to them about sexual orientation and gender ideology, something that should not be discussed with children in school. You know, that's for parents to talk about with their kids. And you know, this administration is pushing this agenda, and I think people of faith are clearly concerned.
We're joined this morning by Alfonso Aguilar from Washington, D.C., political analyst and the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. Alfonso, let's talk about the president's trip to Poland. There were a number of mixed messages. It was sort of disappointing because he started that speech on a very positive note, you know, invoking Pope St. John Paul II, be not afraid. And then he ad-libs at the very end and causes such a controversy.
Well, generally, it really wasn't a bad speech. If you know, if they try to build it up and to say it was is going to be some sort of Reagan-esque speech, you know, kind of like the speech Reagan gave in Berlin, Mr. Gorbachev, take down this wall, and he couldn't stick to the script, and he ad-libs this comment that, you know, the dressing that Putin cannot remain in power, you know. When you build up a speech and saying he's going to deliver a major policy statement, a major announcement, policy announcement, and he makes that comment, it sounds like the new policy of the United States is regime change in Russia. And so it was incredible. It created a lot of confusion. It startled many. Certainly the Kremlin, the spokesperson for the Kremlin already reacted, saying that Biden's words were alarming. But, you know, this wasn't the only gaffe. This was a gaffe-filled trip. If we follow everything he said during that trip, just everything he said, you know, before the White House stepped in to clarify exactly what he said, he basically said that the sanctions are not working because they didn't dissuade Putin. So then why have the sanctions? He said that the U.S. would consider using chemical weapons. He said that we're sending troops to Ukraine. And finally, he said we're for regime change in Russia. Think about it, everything he said. And thank God the White House stepped in to correct him. But then as you ran that clip, it's just a lack of humility from the president to say, I'm not taking anything back. You know, I didn't make any mistake. You know, nobody could have interpreted anything else. You know, you have to put it in context. Well, he said what he said, and he misspoke. And actually clarifying things yesterday, he made another gaffe. He said that when talking about the troops, when talking to the troops, he was talking about the training U.S. troops are giving to Ukrainian troops in Poland, which nobody knows about, which actually the administration had denied only a few days ago. So perhaps he actually gave out some sensitive classified information. It is incredible because the president loses credibility. The United States is losing credibility. You know, in foreign policy, as you know, you need a clear message. A clear message so everybody understands the position of the United States. It has to be a position of strength. And clearly, what the world perceives is a White House in disarray, a weak president. This doesn't help the United States. Every single message, every single sentence in foreign policy matters. So this was just very disappointing, very frustrating. And, you know, what can I tell you? It's just... sadly, it's not the first time, you know, it makes you think also about the president's cognitive capacity, which nobody wants to talk about, but certainly something that we should, if he would stick to the script, but he doesn't. The other thing with the quote about John Paul II, which it just, you know, to me it was a little bit offensive because, you know, he quotes John Paul II to defend, you know, don't be afraid. To defend the international rules-based order. And this is the man who, along with the left, have been using the international order to push an abortion agenda and an anti-family agenda, gender ideology agenda, something that John Paul II stood against, right?
Absolutely.
So there was great contradiction there. And the problem is that when you use the international order, when you use multilateral organizations to promote abortion, to promote anti-family policies, you actually weaken the international order, and you give Putin arguments to attack the West. So, you know, I found it really ironic that he would actually quote John Paul II.
Alfonso, a final word on what you think the fallout is going to be by some of these mixed messages, these gaffes by President Biden.
Well, I mean, this is very serious business. I mean, you don't want to make a mistake and then we end up in a larger conflict. And that's the concern that a lot of people have. So hopefully this will be contained. This week's are key in the conflict in Ukraine. Today we learned that the Ukrainians have resumed talks with the Russians to see if an agreement can be reached to stop the conflict. So I just hope that, we're seeing that the Ukrainian people are prevailing, that they are holding back the Russians, which is incredible. I must say that I believe personally that we should provide more support to Ukraine. It's interesting that the message from Biden was, you know, we stand with Ukraine, period. But right after that, President Zelensky gave a speech saying that he was really frustrated with the lack of courage in the West, and he called out the United States. So that's part of the fallout, saying, you know, Zelensky and the Ukrainian people's thinking that the United States is weak and that we're not doing enough for them. And there are certain things that we could do additional in terms of providing, facilitating the sending planes, meat planes from Poland to Ukraine, and perhaps tanks to finally help them, you know, put an end to this war. It's in a clear message to Putin that he cannot prevail, so that a ceasefire and a peace agreement can be reached.
We continue to pray. We unite our prayers to the prayers of the Holy Father, that beautiful consecration of Ukraine and Russia that he did last Friday, and just live by faith and not by sight. Alfonso, as always, I so much appreciate not only your political analysis, but also your Catholic perspective. Thanks so much.
Always a pleasure.
Alfonso Aguilar, the president of the Latino Partnership for Conservative Principles. We need to take a break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by Catholic speaker and author Kendra Von Esch. She has some ideas of how to get out of that rut now, right here in the middle of the Lenten road. So stay with us. There's much more conversation to come as Morning Air continues after this timeout. Shake yourself. Welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Ross, along with Glenn Leverance. It's good to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Our number, if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. Are you feeling a little weighed down, perhaps at times feeling defeated, or maybe you feel like you're in a rut? Well, we all can have spiritual, physical, and circumstantial ruts in our lives, and we must remind ourselves that absolutely, we can get out of it, and we can do it now. Joining us is Kendra Von Esch, a regular contributor to Morning Air, to talk about some practical ideas of how to get out of a rut and how to do it right now, right here in the middle of Lent. Kendra is a speaker, a faith coach, author, podcaster who's passionate about sharing her faith, her supernatural transformation, and spiritual experiences while helping others on their journey as well. Kendra is also the author of Am I Catholic? A Struggle with Faith, Humility, and Surrendering to God. Good morning, Kendra. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to be with you again.
You too, as well. Thank you for having me. How is your Lent going? Are you in a rut?
Thanks be to God, I can say so far so good. It's going good. Take it one day at a time. It's hard to believe how quickly it's been flying by. Good Friday is just a couple of weeks away, and we continue to fight the good fight on a daily basis, Kendra. How about you?
What a key point, that taking it every day, and what a blessing that you are rocking it. I know some people who started off really zealous and then they fell, or they had that stronghold pull them back down. And I used to be an all or nothing kind of gal. I would like approach everything that way. This was before God found me and made me realize that life isn't really like that. You are going to have challenges, and you're going to have days that you're not really feeling it or in that rut. And I kind of wanted to shout out to everyone and say, keep going. If you're one of those people that I coach sometimes that fall or are struggling with temptation and sin, especially during this 40 days when we're supposed to be, you know, really stepping up on the penance and making that love offering to Jesus, aligning and uniting our suffering with him. And then we feel like we let him down and we fall and we give up. That was how I approached Lent, my life when I wasn't, I didn't even practice the faith. I wasn't even going to Christmas or Easter Mass or any church service for 20 years, but yet I was a Catholic when it came to Lent, and I always picked something that was focused on me losing weight or getting in better shape. So it was always cutting something out that I was obviously having a problem with. I was having a disordered relationship with alcohol, for example. I was drinking too much, or maybe I was smoking marijuana, or maybe I was eating too much food. I was always battling my weight. And then the minute I would fall, I'd be like, okay, well, looks like that Lent's over. I'll try again next year. And that just isn't how it works. So your day by day is so key.
Day by day. And you take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
You know, there's a scripture that's just ringing in my mind right now as you're speaking. Without me, you can do nothing, our Lord says. And that's such a reminder that without his grace, it's so hard to do certain things just on our own power. We have to tap into the grace of God, the power of the Holy Spirit to give us the fuel and the power to be able to do some of these things that we try to do on a regular basis.
Amen. And a lot of time we don't stop and think about bringing God into that moment. And so my tip for anybody, if they're struggling with that stronghold, know that God has you focused on this for a reason. He brings that up in scripture. He raises to our eyes the things that he wants us to work on. So if you're falling, you probably need to kind of deal with the stronghold. But remember, just as you said, it's always calling out to the Holy Spirit, to Jesus, to God the Father. Hey, call out to Mary, Saint Joseph, your favorite saint, your guardian angel. Call out to the heavenly army to help you fight that temptation. It's when we just go and satisfy that urge, right? We don't even think about it, is when we fall. But when we call on God, he will give us that grace. And I remember I didn't even know what grace was. It's truly God's strength. Saint Paul, he asked, Lord, please take this thorn out of my side. And the Lord said, no, my grace is sufficient enough for you. And what he means is, look, if you call on me at the time of that temptation or at the time of whatever he was struggling with, we don't know for sure. Some people think it was lust. Others say it was alcohol. Well, if he calls out to God, God will give us that grace to get through it. We just forget to call out for him. That's the problem.
How did you finally come to the realization after all those years that you needed to go back to the Lord?
It was, you know, I'm actually out here in Iowa. I'm doing a parish mission and I'm wrapping up tonight. And I equated myself to Jacob in that fight with wrestling with the teachings of the church, wrestling with humility. I, for 42 years of my life, never went to God for anything. I took credit for it all. And all of a sudden, when I realized that
I did not have the capability to make all of these massive changes in my life once God led me to the truth of all the teachings in the Catholic Church, not just some of them, every single one. That was my come to Jesus moment where I kept falling. I had to change everything, John, my thoughts, my words, my deeds. And when I kept falling, I was crawling back to confession. And of course, Satan was playing with my mind. I literally had conversations with God and said, look, I'm not supposed to be holy. I don't think I can be holy. I'm just going to give it my best shot. Just don't expect me to be a saint. This is the kind of conversation I'm bartering with God. And finally, it was through scripture, which you can do nothing without me. And if we just rest on his word, we're going to learn exactly the way that we're supposed to live. We're going to learn exactly why we need to live that way, because it protects us from ourselves and from sin. And we will realize that, oh, wait, a little humility in my life and calling out to Jesus and the Spirit and the whole holy army is comforting. And it's actually helping me get through these struggles because I'm seeing the fruits of it. That's really what it was. The more I went to him, the more he helped me, and the more other people were noticing too. So it was proof. Hey, wait a minute. I am being changed here, but it's not me that's doing it. It's all God in my heart and in my soul.
I like to call St. Paul, the Apostle Paul, Coach Paul, because in so many ways he is like a spiritual coach. You know, I love Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If you just tap into just that one scripture and just pray it in your heart and just remind oneself that with the Lord we can do all things, provided they're within his will, of course. But it's that grace, tapping into the Holy Spirit. Can you talk about how we can do that? We can renew our spirit, but we have to ask the Lord for that.
So let's go back to scripture. I remember when I was starting mental prayer and I was struggling with being regular with it, regularly meeting with God every morning, giving him my first fruits, not squeezing him in at the end of the day or whenever I could find time, showing him that I loved him because love is free will. I chose to love God, and I wasn't real consistent with it. Except one day, through the readings again, he says, pick up your cross daily and follow me. And that's something that we need to remember, just as you mentioned in the beginning, right? We have to be in the present, in today, because that's where we're going to see God. We're going to see God in nature, you know, where we are in the Midwest. It's turning from this dreary winter into spring. We're starting to see birds out there. We're starting to see buds coming on the leaves, and we got to kind of look at ourselves as creatures that live in seasons too. And it may be a rough season that we're in right now, but if we have that faith in God that we just take it day by day with him and give him our fears, our anxieties, our worries, we will feel lighter. I mean, he is there to take our burdens, and he will make it better for us. And I always like to say, talk about the scripture that comes into my heart, is be still and know that I am God. So if we just settle down, take that moment to pray before we go, maybe attack the Oreo cookie bag, maybe we gave up Oreos for Lent, we will be able to find that peace and stop the bodily urges. And then we can praise God. So the more we see him giving us those beautiful graces and those moments of control, right, the fruits of the Spirit start appearing in our lives, then we have to give credit where credit is due, right? We hear in the Mass, always and everywhere, to give you thanks. I look at that as an opportunity to evangelize. So I'll tell my husband, oh my gosh, I want to go into that cabinet and eat the Oreos, and I'll confess to him, obviously, what I'm trying to fight. I'll call on God, and then when I don't go in there and that urge passes, I'll give thanks to God. So I'm really showing others as well that I don't have the power on my own. It's insane when we talk with the Holy Spirit and in the morning invite him in so that he is active in our lives, then we will see God throughout the day.
Absolutely. In fact, I want to invite our listeners, if you've experienced a rut in your daily life and you're wondering how to snap out of it, if you want to share that experience with us, perhaps maybe talk a little bit about how you break those temptations that come from the enemy, you can give us a call, be part of the conversation, or maybe you might have a question or comment for Kendra Von Esch. We have open lines. We're taking your calls at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. We're going to take a break as we continue our conversation with Kendra. Stay with us. There's much more to come on the other side.
Get connected to the conversation. Call us now at 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You're listening to Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We're talking about getting out of that possible rut that you might be experiencing here just a little past the midway part of Lent with our good friend and regular contributor, Kendra Von Esch, noted Catholic speaker, author, and faith coach. Kendra, welcome back.
Thank you again for having me. I was kind of jamming to that music. We got to get out of our rut just by that music you're playing.
Just for you this morning, Kendra.
Hey, I enjoy it. It gave me a little lift. Thanks.
I love it. I want to talk a little bit about some of the physical experiences that perhaps we experience when we feel weighed down. How is that physical oppression maybe one of the ways in which the enemy, the evil one, tries to whisper in our ear and to bring us down?
Yeah. So I'll share a physical experience that I had. This goes back to 2020, right before we were locked down. I chose to eat one meal a day, and my calendar was pretty busy, and I was going to be on the road. I was going to be at the airport. And so I was really playing everything moment by moment, day by day. I was praying to God, when do you want me to eat today? Because today I've got a breakfast. Tomorrow I have a dinner. You know, should I eat in the airport on the way through?
Was this during Lent? Was this during Lent?
It was during Lent. Yeah, it was during 2020 before the COVID lockdowns came. And I was digging how much I was praying to God, how much I was uniting my hunger to Him, because one meal a day, and it was a small one, was hard for me. And yet I felt so dependent and reliant on Him. And then everything shut down. And now I'm home. In my home, with those boxes of Oreos sitting in the cabinet, right? I have food everywhere. And I felt physically weighed down, almost like there was a power weighing me down. I was so tired. So if you remember, we were watching Mass on our computers because the churches were shut down. And I could not even keep my eyes open. And this went on for 5-6 days. On day six, I was thinking something is really wrong with me. So I got on my knees and I prayed to God. I was asking Him questions like, do I need to start eating more? Do I need to change my diet or put some, you know, vitamins in here? Do I need to work out? What is happening, God? And I gave my life into the physical world, right? It must be something that I'm doing that I need to physically change. And guess what? He put on my heart, it's not your diet. You're not using the weapons that I taught you. And it was crystal clear, because just 6 months before that, I was introduced to deliverance prayers and prayers that we can pray to deliver any outside influences on us, and we can be oppressed. So there's three ways that we can get attacked. One is possession, that we've all heard that 95% of us don't experience, which is, you know, what happened on the Exorcism movie. So we cross that one out, but we can be oppressed. We can have physical weighing down. We can have anxiety and depression. We can also, you know, have things around us pictures get knocked off the wall. We can be pressed down physically ourselves. So I have had physical oppression at night when I was going through this deliverance book. Satan didn't want me to know how to play his game. So the bottom line is, I was so elated, I got up off my knees and I immediately started my deliverance prayers. It's always in the name of Jesus because he wins. It's his precious blood. So I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce the spirit of depression, of oppression, of obsession, right? Like, stop attacking me. I got weariness off of me and I felt this lightness. I almost felt my eyes actually opening a little bit more and I wasn't tired. There's a spirit of slumber. For those of you who are like me that get 8-9 hours of sleep and you still wake up and you're like, I am not refreshed. What is going on? There's a spirit of slumber out there that we can cast out in Jesus' name. And we have to remember, it's not me telling you that. Jesus told us, greater things will we do in his name. Peter brought Tabitha back to life. Paul has healed people at the spring, at the well, right? But not themselves, using the power of Jesus. And that was a game changer to me.
And St. Paul reminds us that our battle is not with flesh and blood in Ephesians 6:10, but with the principalities and powers of darkness. And so it is a spiritual combat, a spiritual battle that we all experience to different extents. But we have to have the tools to be able to deal with it day in and day out.
Yeah, and I don't want to be like, oh, the devil made me do it. It's always the devil. I'm not that person. If we remember three things, there's three things that actually take us away from God. It's the world, the flesh, and Satan. And then there's also three voices that we need to discern in our lives, and it's our voice, God's voice, and Satan's voice. There's a consistent Satan presence. He's been here since the beginning. There's bloodlines going back to Cain and Abel. But he's so sneaky and so sly that we don't even know his ways. So I always like to pay attention, because if I do notice that I have a thought, sometimes we could have thoughts that come out of our past or things that we've done that come out of the blue. And we need to realize, wait a minute, where did that come from? Because I certainly didn't bring that up in my mind. And we have to remember that evil spirits have access to our emotions and our memory, but they do not have access to our thoughts. Thank you, God, for that, because that would be pretty dangerous. But we do have to deliver the spirits out loud. So that's an important piece that I want to tell people, is you have to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, out loud or under your breath. I've even had crazy, impure thoughts and evil thoughts come into my mind while I'm in Mass. And I will immediately, like St. Paul says, we don't entertain these thoughts. We cast them out. We grab them and we align them to Jesus immediately. So I have prayed deliverance prayers in my pew under my breath, like, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind the spirit of impurity and lustful thoughts, crazy thoughts based on my past would come out of nowhere. And I know that's not me. And I know that's not God. So we got to pay attention.
Absolutely. And be tapped into our guardian angel, and also never forget the power of St. Michael the Archangel, the great deliverer. I think that we go to Michael, we're in good shape. You know, we have a couple minutes left. Just a final thought on having an attitude of thankfulness. How important is that in dealing with getting out of any kind of rut?
Yeah, you know, we get the daily grind kind of gets to you. You know, I was just talking to some of the people at Immaculate Conception Catholic Church out here last night about, you know, sometimes I get tired of my vocation as a wife. I mean, there's only so many dinners I can be creative with, and I get tired of making it, right? And so I find it this overwhelming burden. But I say, if I bring Jesus in, and I start making that dinner with Jesus, I am grateful that I have the food and the plates and the stove. And then I'm grateful that I can make a loving meal. And for me, I'm working on temperance this Lent. So I decided I wasn't going to cut out wine. I was just going to have two glasses. And I've been inviting Jesus in to drink the wine with me. Jesus, please drink this wine with me. I am amazed that after an hour, I'm still sipping on the same glass, right? And this is just the temperance that I'm calling on Jesus for. You're right, your guardian angel, the Holy Spirit, Mary. We've got a whole holy army that can help fight these urges and then give us that consolation and that peace and that zeal and joy for the repetitive nature of our life. And that is why every day we can renew our spirit. We can get that zeal and that fire for the Lord every day if we actually pray and spend that time with him and allow him in. If we pray, Lord, please change my heart, we'll be able to love ourselves, we'll be able to love others, and we'll be able to be a better witness of what God can do in our lives and hopefully attract them to him.
You remind me, Kendra, that the difference between dieting and fasting, when you diet, you do it for yourself. When you fast, you do it for others. If you fast for Jesus, it is powerful.
Amen. That's a mouthful. What a way to end.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.
That's a good way to end. And as always, thanks so much for being with us. You can go for a lot more inspiring thoughts at kendravonesh.com. Thanks so much, Kendra.
God bless you. Keep trucking.
Absolutely. Kendra Von Esch, faith coach, speaker, podcaster, author, and a regular contributor to Morning Air. And now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
Our story today, a classic called The Touch of the Master's Hand by Myra Brooks Welsh. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folk?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? $1, $1, now two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, going for three, but no." From the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as an angel sings. The music ceased, and the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" as he held it up with the bow. $1,000, who'll make it two? Two thousand, who'll make it three? $3,000 once and $3,000 twice. $3,000 and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, "We do not quite understand. What changed its worth?" And the answer came, "'Twas the touch of the master's hand." And many a man with a soul out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd can never quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand."
As always, thanks so much, Glenn, for that inspirational verse. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, Catholic evangelist Martha Fernandez-Sardina, the founder of RememberYouAreLoved.com, will be with us to explain how love reveals the heart. Plus, pediatric psychologist Dr. Jim Schrader is going to tell us how to control our emotions amidst what happened the other night at the Oscars with Will Smith and Chris Rock. This should be an interesting conversation, so don't change that dial. There's much more to come on Morning Air next hour here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.